Like as Sophie said earlier, you know, God's heart is for each one. God has a plan for each one. He has a purpose for each one. So be open. So Father, I thank you for today, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, Father. Lord, let it go forth, Lord, into each heart, into each mind, Father. Lord, I just pray, Lord God, and I declare, Lord God, your peace over this place, Father. Lord, just no distractions, Lord. Father, I declare every ear open, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The word the Lord gave me is Word in God's Dream Co. And the scripture I'm going to read from is Genesis 37, verse 3 and 4. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. He made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of the other of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word against him. The richly ornamented robe that Joseph received from his father presented a marked contrast to the plainer tunics worn by his brothers. It represented a position of special favoritism and honor with his father. It was a coat of favor. It was a colorful coat. It was a coat of many colors, designed and tailor-made for his son. This coat would have singled him out wherever he walked. He was easily identified by his coat. It was a coat of favor. It was a colorful coat. It was a coat of many colors. I'm just reading that again. Designed and tailor-made for his son. This coat would have been singled him out. Wherever he walked, he would be easily identified by his coat. As believers in Christ Jesus, we also have a coat that comes from our Father. We are all favored by the Father as his children. This favor comes through his Son, Christ Jesus. The coat that the Father gives is a colorful coat. It's the right fit, not too small, made by God your Father and my Father. On the label of it, it would say, made by Almighty God your Father. When God gave his son, he made a coat for everyone. He does not leave anybody out. And it's just confirming that word again what Sophie said earlier. God wants to speak to every heart. God wants to minister to each one. The first point I want to make is we are all qualified to wear God's dream coat in Christ Jesus. Every single one of us are qualified. The story of Adam and Eve in the garden when they fell and disobeyed God, their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked. They felt ashamed and they hid from God. Genesis 3:7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God in the garden as they were walking in the cool of the day. As he was walking in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But look what God does, he says. But the Lord God called to the man. The Lord called out to the man. Where are you? You know, it just that hit me when I was reading that. Where are you? And the Lord is still calling today. His heart is for every single person in this nation, in the nations and in the world. Because Jesus died for every person. And he doesn't leave anyone out. Heaven is full of coats for every single person. Because Jesus doesn't leave anyone out. He died for the whole world. For every single person. He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. And I just had that. Nobody comes unless they're drawn. And that's what the scripture says. Nobody comes unless they're drawn by God. So God is the one that calls. He's the one that draws. He's the one that called in. He says, they knew that they had disobeyed God. They were ashamed, so they tried to cover themselves. They tried to make themselves right with God. When we sin, we very often try to make ourselves right with God. We often think if we're good, then we can earn God's righteousness. Isaiah 64, verse 6 tells us, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous acts is like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sins sweep us away. It was God who covered Adam and Eve's nakedness and shame. It is God who covers our sins. Isaiah 61, verse 10. He says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and dressed me in a coat of righteousness. He covers. He is a God who covers. And this is the most amazing scripture, and we can read it a million times and we can quote it and we can do all this type of thing, but it's the most powerful thing ever. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have an everlasting life. And it's like I was thinking this morning of, I remember watching Reinhard Bonnke, a thing about the lost. And there was people, he used films to get across different points, but there was all these people drowning in the sea. And unless they got the life jacket or the life coat, they were going to drown. And Jesus is the only life coat. That's what the Bible says. There's no other coat. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. There's no other Savior, there's no other name under heaven and earth which a man shall be saved, only through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other name. You can go down all these different avenues, but they're curly sacks. You'll be lost. You need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:12. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. As a child of God, we have rights. We are citizens of heaven. As an Irish citizen, we have rights to vote. We have the right to an Irish passport. Likewise, as citizens of heaven, or as God's children, we also have the rights. We have the rights to walk in our God-given inheritance. We have the right to walk with God. We have the right to talk to God. We have the right to dance. We have the right to sing. We have the right to be free in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6:28-29. I love this scripture. He says, then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. To believe in him. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father. And let's really get that. The Father. The Father wants you to know. He wants you to know that you're qualified. He wants you to know it's all in his Son. Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you. Every single one is qualified in Christ. Every single one. To share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Every single one of us. Cleansed by the blood, washed by the blood, blameless before him, holy, righteous, because of what Jesus has done. Because of what he's done. And I felt that the Lord is like, the word is like soap today. And that's washing. Because sometimes, remember, thinking of your mom when we were young. We used to, we'd be out in the sun and our necks be like brown as that. And my mom used to be scrubbing the neck off me thinking it was the dirt. The door to your neck. But what I'm saying is that sometimes we need our ears to be washed. We need them to be washed with the word of God. We need them to be cleansed. We need them to be just everything took out of them so we can hear clearly what the Lord is saying. In order to qualify for the Olympics, an athlete must go through a number of preheats in order to be qualified to participate in the games. The moment we accept Jesus as our Lord, we are instantly qualified. Jay, I have a word to you, brother. And I'm just going to speak this over you. I'll just ask you to stand up. It's a privilege to speak this over you. This man is a man of God, and I love him. It's for yourself and your wife. Jay and Adele, Jay, I've seen the Lord giving you a bunch of keys to open up the gates of the prison. I've seen the Lord giving you out. I've seen you giving out newspapers with intensity. And I felt the Lord say, it's the good news of the gospel. I feel the Lord saying that there are deep waters in both of you and your wife. And I've seen a well being opened up and the ground being raked out. And I've seen the heavens being opened and a clock. And the Lord saying, there's the appointed time. The ground is being raked, but then the water is going to come. I've seen a great delight when this water welled up and sprung up from the ground. There was a great excitement. I've seen the two of you being given the vision of God. And I'll give you this. And Adele, you qualify it. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen, brother. The second point is that the seasons and timing. 1 Samuel 2:18. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made a little coat and took it to him. When she went up to, with her husband for the annual sacrifice, Samuel was brought up in the presence of the Lord. As he grew each year, he was made a new coat that fit him perfectly. The most important, what hit me, was that he grew up in the presence of God. It also says that his mother dedicated him to the Lord. She dedicated, to be dedicated, to be wholehearted, to put your face like flint to the Lord, to love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And this can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Submitting yourself to God, laying yourself before God. And you know what? It's not always easy. But God is faithful. Let's share and say that. God is faithful. God is so faithful that it's not dependent on us, but it's dependent on Him. And it's like that thing sometimes, if we're just still and know that He is God, that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that we're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and all things are done through His power and His strength. All things. If we can just be still sometimes and know that. And sometimes it's like that, you know, thinking of it. You know, you get your days, you're just flowing in God. It's like a loose coat on you. You're just free. You're just like, man, this is just, you want to be, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. But it's the secret place is with the Lord. And that's where the freedom comes from, growing up in His presence. Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. That there's a time to wear different coats. There's a time to take off the old coat and put on the new coat, what the Lord has for you. You know, God has many coats. And I was thinking even there, you know, like even back to the passport thing about the Irish citizen. We're the citizen of heaven. And we've been given the passport of heaven. Now, we on that passport, right through our lives, the Bible says all of our days are ordained by God. From the beginning to the end. And He says, I know, like every single day is ordained. And what I got to stand goes, imagine all, like whatever, different countries the Lord has you to go to. Or if He's to go to Cork, or if He's got you to go to Dolphins Barn, or if He's got you to go to Cundalkin, Finglas, Bray, the city. No matter where it is, but God has ordained your steps. And He has what's best for you. So He has a number of coats. And as we grow, we put on the coat. That coat's getting too big for you, son. Here's another coat. Put that coat on it. Put this coat on it. Put that coat on it. And I was thinking, there used to be a thing on the telly. I forget what he says. 40 coats. So remember him? Like, here's Johnny 40 coats. But like that's what the Lord wants. And that's for each one of us. Because He's now, like, we're all His favorites. We're just in different places. Well, one body, but we're many parts. You know what I mean? Every single one of us. And this is it. It says in verse 6, there is a time to search and a time to give up. There is a time to keep and a time to throw away. Take off the old and put on the new. Did you ever try to wear a coat that doesn't fit properly? Either it's too big or too small. It's uncomfortable. You can't move properly. We need to know what season we are in. I was just thinking of myself, like the Lord has been very much, over the last 2 years, very much telling me exactly where He wants me to be. Very clear. I work in Dolphins Bar with the young people, with the youth, in a youth cafe up there, and I love it. And you know, sometimes like it's a huge thing. It's a huge thing in God's eyes. And do different things in the church as well. But traction. Yeah. So I'm getting lost where I am now. Yeah, we need to know what season we are in. Yeah. Just wait a sec, because it's important, you know. Just that everyone, because this is what God is doing, and it's not to single out anyone. We need to know what season we are in. We need to be wearing the coat that God has given us, and not trying to put on someone else's coat. It will be uncomfortable, you know. I was just thinking even about the church. There's a leadership structure in the church, and that's the way God has ordained it to be. We have our senior leader, our pastor, Noel Kenny. Then we have the executive elder. Then we have the elders. And then we have all the different ministries. We have the pastors. We have so forth and so on. But that's the way God has ordained it to be. This is the way God has ordained it to be. And we're all part of it. But it's just working as one. Walking as one. Living as one. And it's not. It's only with the power of God and the strength of God can we do this. So we need to be praying for each other, encouraging each other, building each other up, looking out for each other, praying for each other. You know, just keep encouraging each other. We all come to church on a Sunday. We don't know what's going to happen yesterday, tomorrow, or whatever, you know. We need to be praying for each other. You know, ask God for the heart for every person in the church. Every single person. Daniel, will you stand up, brother? Have a word for the Lord for me. I just want to say I love this guy. And a few years ago, you know, God just connects you with someone and I just want to say I really love you, man. I think you're the business. Daniel, you're going to be a demolisher for the Lord. I've seen the Lord giving you a hammer. And the Word of God says that the Word of God is like a hammer that breaks yokes. And I've seen... I'll just get this right here because I don't want to be. I got a picture that the Lord will bring you up into the heavens. You will see differently. The Lord is going to flood you with the water and the fire of God. It's a new season for you, Daniel. I've seen the Lord put a boundary line around Finglas, around the whole of it. And I've seen the great big day out happening. I had a vision the other night of this. And I've seen like the heavens opening and the river of God coming down over Finglas. Because God has paid the price for every single person in Finglas. Amen. And the last point. Watching the time. I wasn't even aware of the time. God has the best coat for you. God has the best coat for you. Luke 15, verse 11. Beautiful. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there squandered his wealth while living. And this really hit me. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in need. I was a drug addict. My life was broken. I was in tatters. And it says after he spent everything of himself, everything that he could have probably done in life, he says, and he began to be in need. He needed help. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the field to feed pigs. The Lord doesn't want anyone feeding, going out to his sons or daughters to go out and feed pigs when he has the best coat for you. None of us. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country and sent him out to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. No one gave him nothing. I was just thinking to myself, you know, when you're out there and you're in tatters and you're in thing, people will give you stuff for a while. Have this, have that. Then you end up in bits and you say, you have no one. No one gives you nothing. You end up in your own broken. But the good news is that the Lord can take you out of whatever brokenness you're in. No matter what it is. He says, when he came to his senses, He said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up, went back to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion." The minute he was filled with compassion for him, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Look what the son said. He was running back, full of condemnation, full of guilt, full of shame. I'm wearing this coat of brokenness, of shame, of guilt, of remorse. But look what the father says. But the father says to his servant, "Quick, like an emergency, quick, bring the best coat and put it on him. The best coat. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and now is alive again. He was lost and is now found." There's 2 points to this. The father puts the best robe on. But there's another point. Meanwhile, the other son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of his servants and asked, "What's going on? What's this all about?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fat calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders." And I was thinking of that, like, you know, he didn't know his identity. He didn't know he was a son. He didn't know. He was in the house all the time. And he was probably doing 50 things. But he didn't know that as much favor that was on the other son was upon him. "So he's slaving for you. I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes came home, you killed the fatted calf for him." And look what the father says. "My son, my daughter," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. We have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found."